Before we do anything, we're going to have a moment of silence for Earl Simmons, aka DMX. Rest in peace and power, Dark Man.
Yeah.
So, this is Press X to Start, the now multi-award winning podcast, and we'll get into that a bit later. But here at Press X, we're seeking to transform the video game media landscape through a underserved and protected point of view, and bring restorative justice to the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishniggerwood, California, aka the janitor because it'd be Wash Niggas, aka Dennett, 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 Mark Sellison.
I am Sean MF Ross.
What do MF stand for?
Mr. 47, aka AG, aka Silver. We're a Silver Award-winning podcast.
Hey.
Also, for those who know me, I am also Rough Rider Sean everywhere on the internet. Honor of the Rough Riders, like back in the day, they just took me by storm. But you know what? I bet people will pronounce it properly now. Back then, they had no idea what the hell to say. It was Rough Ridation. It was Ruffy Ride. It was Ruffy. I was like, there's a Sean today. Why is it? English isn't that hard. But whatever. That's me.
I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. the Interstellar Don, a.k.a. Ooh. A little bit about me. ATVs was never cool until Rough Riders.
Mm-hmm.
They legitimately made that a thing. I kind of want one of those things.
Yeah. That Rough Riders Anthem video did a whole lot for the ATV stock.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess hospitals as well, the emergency room.
Yeah, a lot of terrible accidents, and especially in the city.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Jordan, aka JXBot, aka Jordan the Outrider, aka DMX as a... Oh, this is the aka. This is a comment on DMX. But back when Def Jam Vendetta was, like, you know, the biggest game out there, he had one of the cruelest finishers.
Yeah.
Like, he was a holy man. You know, DMX was a holy, holy man. But, you know, when Damon comes out, that was sick. So, you know, it's just crazy the amount of impact DMX has on not just pop culture, but video game culture too. Like, so many trailers and videos and soundtracks incorporated his music. Yeah. And, you know, he will be missed.
It's kind of annoying that a certain section of media, like, the only song that they knew how to use from DMX was X Gonna Give It To You, which I fully blame on Deadpool. But, like, but at the same time,
and there was also a period where people, because this happened,
they were using Party Up as well.
I'm saying when people were saying X is gonna give it to you, people are like, oh, that's Exhibit, right? And it's just like,
oh my god,
no.
But no, yeah, you're absolutely right, Jordan.
Get it on the floor.
He had a huge influence on, you know, media in general, but especially the black community. So definitely. He will definitely be missed.
I also hate that you have to specify between DMX and XXXTentacion.
Yeah.
X, which one?
Well, all the problematic, you know, articles coming out saying DMX best known for his troubles. Each one of those I see, I downvote. Because, like, no, you guys don't know for your troubles. That's all you cared about.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's why I had to specify the black community, because I really do feel like a lot of people outside of the black community really only know DMX for, like, a couple of hits and then his troubles. And he was so much more than that.
Yeah. Right.
But on that note, we're going to go into what we've been playing. So start off, what you been playing, Sean?
Oh, so I've been playing some more It Takes Two with my wife. We started playing, I want to say, 11:30 last night and stopped playing almost 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's big for y'all.
Oh.
Yeah, because she normally falls asleep a good, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock. So, you know.
Right.
But no, this game... Like, literally, every 10-15 minutes, you're like, yo, this... Both of us are like, yo, this game is amazing. Like, they really put some thought into the multiplayer and the different components of what y'all have to do. I
people are touting that game as being on their game of the year list already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think back to when, like, and this is a lot of hyperbole, but think back to when Wii Sports came out and everybody wanted to play and try, you know, bowling, whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is something I feel like everybody needs to experience. You know, just like everybody played, what the hell is it, Animal Crossing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If this came out earlier in the pandemic, I think this would have made more waves.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I still haven't gotten a chance to play it yet because I was supposed to play it yesterday with Annie because you can do the local co-op. But
yeah,
we ended up helping a close friend move, and that took up a good chunk of the day. And by the time we got back, we were all just kind of tired. But like,
that's what you call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've...
So now, go ahead.
Shut up. Mind your business. I've heard so many glowing things about it, and just the fact that it is an organic couch co-op game in a time where that's basically a dead thing means a lot, too. And I do agree that because it's couch co-op and because it's so widely accessible, everybody should at least give it a shot.
Yeah, this is not a shallow game. It actually has some real innovative mechanics, you know, that you have to use. I think last night we were on a level where you're miniaturized people. So you are in a tree, you knock on a door. There's some militarized squirrels in there and they're trying to fight back some wasps. Yeah.
Militarized and squirrels.
One player has this goo that you have to, you know, shoot on things, and the other person has a match gun. And basically, you know, one in order to get past anything, they pretty much have to work together to either take down the enemy or clear a path. Mm-hmm. And they also have, like, I think it says there's like 25 mini games in there that, you know, are competitive.
Oh, wow.
You know, that you
have, that you can play with each other.
Against each other.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, right.
Mid-adventure, you'll stop like, no, I have to win a match. You can't just keep on beating me. but no, everybody needs to try this game. Only one person needs to buy it. They have some feature where if one person has purchased it, the other person can download the Buddy Pass, and then y'all can play through the entire story together.
Mm-hmm. Which is also just a big step forward in accessibility as well. Like, that's a huge thing.
That's a big thing for EA, specifically.
Right, right. Also absolutely true,
yeah.
The other game I've been playing was Oddworld Soulstorm.
How you liking it?
I am loving this game. I have not touched Apex Legends. Hmm. Partly because they recently had that glitch where it reset everybody's progress back to zero. So
yeah.
Right.
Is yours still zero?
I believe they have fixed it, but I just...
You haven't touched it.
Okay.
I haven't touched it yet. I played this in Oddworld. This is a reimagining of the sequel I heard, Abe's Exodus, but just updated.
Wait one second. Our world is trash. Boo.
Look, you young whippersnapper.
The game is weird and British.
But no,
it talks about slavery though, Jordan.
That was
slavery.
It has a lot of allegories about capitalism and slavery and
spell allegory.
Oh Lord.
Alador Dash. How about that?
F-O Sachi. So now, actually, all of that was intentional from the creator, like way back when this was released in the late 90s. And interestingly enough, back in the 90s when they first released Oddworld, like the series, it was planned as a quintology, so a 5-part game.
Wow.
Of course, it didn't sell well back then. Maybe it might do better now, you know, larger audience. There's, you know, more people are into gaming. He plans on continuing the Quintology still, now that there's, you know, new life breathed into it.
That's awesome.
Good on him.
If only Shenmue had this level of polish, but, you know, it is what it is.
Shenmue had to die in order for Oddworld to
What do you mean Shenmue doesn't have polish?
But ultimately, Abe is a blue Harriet Tubman. You know, he's just rescuing
blue Harriet Tubman.
I mean,
He's not wrong. Yeah.
you know what? I have some screenshots, but it is crazy. Like at the beginning of the game, they have like a lot of newspaper articles referencing events from the first game, and some of it's like I think the races in there are Mutikans and Gluckans or whatever, but it was like nobody would ever believe that. Shut up. that a Mutikan could overpower or outsmart a Gluckan. It's almost like an allegory. Like nobody would ever believe that a slave could, you know, outsmart the slave master. That type shit. Like,
wow.
This game touches on, you know, some deep subjects.
I'm just imagining Harriet Tubman with the Abe face, and I'm
put that image out dying. Do not put that image out into the universe.
Okay.
Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. When he said when Sean said the newspaper in the game, just looking at the game, I just didn't think paper existed. I don't know why. It was a weird thing.
There,
was like,
there are trains, DJ. Jesus.
I know there is technology. There's things that are flying. But
he just didn't think paper of all things existed.
They were a species that evolved from print. They went straight to locomotion and compression and capacitors.
Writing. What do you mean they have paper here?
Yeah, the first game was set on like a what they call rupture farms, and basically I think he burned down the entire farm, and they thought that the owner of the farms burned it down for the insurance money. It's a big scam. It's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a large world. Wow. And I'm curious to see if this whole five part, you know, series continues on.
Next up, Jordan, what you been playing?
I'm still playing Outriders. By myself, of course. If you've been following Outriders recently, you know, I mean, it had mixed reviews, but, you know, on the positive side, to be honest, like, People Can Fly clearly took their expertise in Gears of War and understanding how to make a proper third-person shooter and transpose it to this Destiny-like game. Yeah, I can't say too much about the story. You know, it's pretty prototypical in terms of its themes and pacing and, you know, follow the thing, turn on the thing to get the thing, you know, all that. It's pretty routine. But, you know, the hook of this game is the gameplay itself, you know, just using your power, going across the field. And as a reminder, I've been using Trickster, and there are reports that the next patch will be reducing Trickster's power. The game still serves challenge, especially when you're playing by yourself. But at the same time, you know, it's fun. You know, it's mulling through it. And if I were to give a rating right now, it'd be an 8, between 7.5 and 8. You know, it's a pretty solid game. Like, I haven't had any graphical glitches.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, like that fade to black transition between areas, like that's
mad
like,
awkward.
I'm glad I'm playing this on Xbox Series X, because I can imagine an older console going through those loading screens older and older again be a pain. Like, even though they're lightning fast, it's still like it takes you out of it. Like this,
yeah.
You know, I can still see assets in the other area. You know, when I turn back around, like, why was this loading screen there? So
it's like, why?
Yeah. So yeah, Outriders is fun, and yeah, like if you have Game Pass, totally would say check it out. But if you don't have Game Pass, totally check it out when it's a little bit discounted. But yeah, it's a great get for Game Pass right now.
So real quick, before we move on to the next game, I would like to offer something of a apology. Now, I realize I was overly negative on this game. And it's one of those things that between Jordan commenting on his time on it and then just all the other media people just talking about, oh, I'm enjoying this, I'm having a good time. You all have fucking beaten me down to the point where I'm like, all right, this is okay.
this is why I take your opinion for grain of salt, DJ. You know, it feels like you're really counterfactual for the moment.
Oh, flip-flop Harris over here.
I know. He left me high and dry. If you listen to the Godzilla commentary, I was a man on a hill dying, getting beaten to a pulp. You know, DJ Turncoat and said, no, I was Godzilla the whole fucking time, liar.
He was Ryan and nobody came to save him.
So, Outriders is fun. Don't listen to DJ at all.
Although, I will say that in our chat, I said Outriders was going to score between a 76 and a 72 and 76.
You weren't wrong.
And it scored a 75. So, I was there. I was just a little more negative in terms of, I mean, I still don't know exactly how long it's going to last, but that's where I was.
I mean, you were honestly mostly negative from your experience. Like, because we, you know, you, me, and Sean played the demo, and like, we had fun for the most part playing with each other, but like just the trappings of the game felt lackluster to us. So I understand why you were negative on it. I'm still negative on it, but I understand why Jordan and other people have enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also it comes from the context of, is it warranted $60 too? You know, like that's exactly. that's one of the other things. Like,
or fucking $70.
Yeah, so like me playing it for free, I totally have a different ontology, but we've gotten into that. Once I beat it, you know, we'll have another discussion on this game later. I finally beat Ace Combat. Ace Combat's been on Game Pass for over a year now, and I'm trying to gauge how long does a game exist on Game Pass, even though I bought Ace Combat 7 a long fucking time ago.
You bought it on Xbox?
Yeah, I bought it on Xbox One when it came out back in 2019. And I just got around to finishing the damn thing because I was like, you know what, I'm going to play this.
Let me hold that jump.
play it in 4K. It's probably one of the easiest Ace Combat games I played. But at the same time, it's been on Game Pass for a little bit over a year now. And there are multiple games on Game Pass that are exceeding the year mark, being Kingdom Hearts, Yakuza games, Ace Combat. It's very difficult to understand because like first party games, I totally expect to be on there forever. But these third-party games are staying there way longer than some movies will stay on Netflix. And that's something that I'm, like, very curious about. So, but yeah, Ace Combat
was, like, where's that revenue coming from?
Oh, military contracts. War.
No, I'm talking war. No, I'm talking about in terms of the developers
Microsoft
having
missiles.
Their games.
Kind of. But no, well, because like remember, Microsoft is paying these companies to have their games on Game Pass, so whatever agreement they had is, you know, it's pretty long in it too. But Ace Combat was probably the dumbest story ever. Like literally, this character who was a princess jumps off of a space elevator, gets blown up by a missile to say, I don't know.
Did you just say a space elevator?
Yeah, it's dumb. It's a very dumb game.
Wait, real quick. I'm sorry. I just have to share this. When Marcus said Microsoft missile, I just imagined like whoever America's or Microsoft's enemy is, they throw a missile. They're like, is that the Windows shutdown sound? Anyone else hear that?
Yeah.
And that's the last thing they heard.
We have to worry about ethics and, you know, especially a company as large as Microsoft. I mean, like, they are getting money, but they do have many government contracts. And the question is, you know, what type of government contracts they have. But that's another conversation. I just beat Need for Speed Hot Pursuit's remastered core gameplay. For a second time, you know, when I played it back on the Xbox 360, you know, I ranked all the way up to the highest rank of both law enforcement and...
The highest level of law enforcement, eh?
It's a fictitious world where police officers are giving supercars to find
Jordan the ops.
all right, Blue Lives Matter.
He got a haircut and he completely changed.
Well, I mean, like, the funny thing about Need for Speed Remaster, it's more difficult to rank up due to law enforcement track just because of the structure of their races compared to like the regular racers and stuff like that. So when it comes to like when I finally rank up to the top level, you know, it's just kind of no point. You know, you kind of do the same thing over and over again. But we'll see.
Is the way that you signify that you've gotten to the highest level of the law enforcement in that game, you get like a Punisher logo on the side of your car?
No, they didn't get that granular with the expression.
That's terrible. The Punisher didn't even like police. It's funny how they co-opted that symbol.
We've seen the memes, but no. I mean, like I'm not gonna say it came from more innocent time, but you know, like the aggressive tactics done by these police officers are like, you know, bonkers and made for you know Fast and Furious films, which is I think their main point of reference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And finally, I played GTA 5 on my phone.
Nice.
I was able to hook up my Xbox controller via Bluetooth to my Samsung phone just to see how it is, and it is hilarious. Like,
Bluetooth?
Yeah.
They didn't change that to green tooth?
No.
DJ, get out.
All right. See you guys later.
Shitty ass father jokes.
But like when I play cloud, you know, like my phone's connected to my in-house Wi-Fi. I'm not doing it using my data because like data streaming games through your phone is very difficult. But
data.
Yeah.
I said data or data?
Whichever one. But it was crazy playing like a game that I got for Xbox 360 almost what, like, 8 years ago now. Playing that on my phone, you know, like playing GTA Online on my phone, and my Microsoft is, you know, changing things.
Damn, how far down the street did you get before you got shot online?
Well, see, every time I'm online, I spawn inside the club and I put passive mode immediately, and I just do passive mode to survive in a fucking game.
That's funny.
Between GTA Online and the Lamar Franklin memes, GTA 5 is never going to die in the public conscience.
And there's never going to be a GTA 6 because of that.
Rockstar is going to become Valve. Like, we don't need to make another game.
No, no way. That's all I had.
All right. So what you been playing, DJ?
Okay. So as my AKA alluded to, I have been on a No Man's Sky kick to the point where I found myself questioning, maybe I could skip Gundam today.
My God.
Yeah.
The blasphemy.
When I questioned myself, I was like, oh my, I didn't, that was, caught me off guard. How about that? But, so yeah, I was talking to Shireen about like my time playing No Man's Sky, and I found it really difficult just to illustrate what I am finding so captivating about this game.
Yeah.
And then it clicked to me. If this game came out when I was a kid, like me being so like into science, this would have absolutely blown my mind.
It's
because
like a nerd.
This game no, pretty much. This game is literally the intersection of like science and
astronomy.
Anyway, space astronomy. There we go. Astronomy meets like fucking the creative endeavor, and like basically you're a scientist and you're out in the open vastness of space, and like you're warping to different galaxies, different solar systems, and you're just seeing like crazy planets just based off of this random generated program that they got built under No Man's Sky.
Yeah,
and it's like, I went into the solar system where there was more metal in this solar system. So there was three planets. One planet was like fucking the size of Jupiter. And it's when you, I actually took pictures. I have to post this stuff. But the planet is like the size of Jupiter. And it's so like daunting when you see this thing in front of you, like your little spaceship, you're like, oh my God. And the planet itself, it had a bunch of rings like Saturn, and then the actual planet was like hexagonal shapes on it, and it's just like, oh, that's so weird. And then like I got down into the surface level of the planet, and it was like a yellowish mist, and there was hexagonal trees. And the way to describe this is that the trunk of the trees was like yellow tentacles that like it was just yellow like glowing tentacles that kind of like waved down into the ground, and then
hentai tree.
You're not wrong. And then the actual leaves themselves was like a sheet of like shiny hexagonal shapes, and it's just like, It was one of those things where it caught me completely off guard, because I didn't expect this to be like what the actual planet looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I spent some time there. I was like collecting different like elements and stuff. And then I was like, all right, well, let me take off from here and go to the other planet to see what the other planet's like. In some solar systems, you actually have a share of different fauna and flora on the different planets, because they're kind of all in the same solar system, and it's possible that things happen.
Panspermia type shit.
Right, yeah. So I went to the other planet kind of expecting that, and the other planet was like a fucking wasteland of just metal, and it was weird because when I went from the upper atmosphere down to the lower atmosphere to land, I kind of got caught by like popping. So on this planet, there were floating metal, like circular spheres that are like rotating, And like, you can kind of see into the middle of the spears, and they're like, it's like a red glowing kind of thing. And I was about to land, and one just kind of appeared next to me. I flipped the fuck out. That was not what I was expecting at all. And then like, I landed, I just looked, I was like, oh my God, like this is all crazy. And playing this game just reminds me of the moment in Interstellar where they land on that water world. And it's just like, what the fuck is this? And they look and they see a giant tidal wave. It's like, oh my God. It's like, I'm constantly having that kind of like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then another planet I landed on the dark side of the planet. I was collecting samples, and then my little indicator was like, firestorm approaching. I'm like, fuck. I turned around, I just haul ass, I jumped back in my spaceship, I just stayed there to like wait to see what's gonna happen. And it turned out to be like a giant like dust storm that was super, super hot, and it like increased the temperature of my suit to a point where it was like degrading the life support systems. But it's like stuff like that that really, really keeps me playing, really keeps me looking forward to the next planet that I land on, just see like, what new experience am I going to have? Like, how is this planet going to be different from the last planets that I played?
Or last planets that I've seen?
Yeah, it's wild.
From release to that, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a profound glow up.
Yes. The last thing that had me just like, wow. Basically, what Sean was saying when he was playing with the guys in Spelunky 2, he was like, I've never seen this before. Where are we?
Like, I can show you the world.
Like, in No Man's Sky Vanilla Edition, you know, the goal was to get to the center of the galaxy, right? But with the subsequent updates to now, there's a whole multiplayer system and there's a multiplayer hub. And I had no idea this existed. So I was doing the actual story and it took me to this like anomaly space station kind of thing. And at first I was like, all right, it's another space station. But when I landed, there was a bunch of other ships and there was other travelers like running around. And I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Went to that bar in Star Wars?
Yes. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But like that had me just like, oh my God, like there's other people, like what the fuck is happening? This is a completely different game now. And I got to see like their other spaceships and stuff. And like apparently there is like alien ships you can get now. So it's like, it's called like a living ship. And it's basically an alien you can ride in.
Phrasing?
We won't really get into the semantics on that, but yeah.
Up in them guts.
Warp speed. All right. Next.
The last game I played, I actually played with Marcus. Woo! And it was the PS Plus game,
Zombie Army 4.
I said what I said. yeah, Dead War. This is very similar to like World War Z.
Yeah, very, very arcadey.
Yeah, it's like a World War II third person zombie shooter game that like you can pick a character, you can make a character, and that character can have certain abilities. You can get different level ups and stuff.
You make a character, or can you just pick one and slightly customize it?
You're right.
That's enough for Cameron. Game of the year.
DJ and I are respectively playing a strong Asian woman and a strong black woman, and we're both wearing church sun hats.
Yep.
And
it's,
okay. And okay, we are
wreaking
jump on.
Havoc upon all of these zombies.
Yeah. How far in the story did y'all get?
Not super far. I think we're in the second chapter.
Maybe.
Okay. I think. Because we were supposed to play with Sean as well, but Sean had a cable incident, so he wasn't able to join us. But, you know, we gonna play together.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, just piggybacking off of DJ.
Oh, so we look alike, huh?
I can't tell you giraffes apart.
Well, I mean, my question is, you know, it's third person, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It's third person. Yeah, so, yeah, I was thinking if there are, like, any comparisons with Left 4 Dead or anything like that, but those two different games.
Nah, it's way closer to, like DJ said, World War Z.
Slower paced than Left 4 Dead, though.
Yeah. And it's way clunkier in terms of movement because...
Yeah, so...
Jesus.
About that, I feel like... In terms of the movement, I agree it's more clunkier. Although, I do like the shooting in it. I feel like...
Yeah, the aiming is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It feels good to, like, get a headshot, to, like, use
Well,
a
I mean,
shotgun.
These are the same people that made Sniper Elite. So
yeah.
The gunplay is solid. So
I haven't blown off again, a zombie's ball sack yet, though.
Go back and fucking play Sniper Elite like I told y'all.
They made four of them.
Bastards.
Or five of them, right?
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that DJ and I never had... Like, the only time we ever felt pressed in the game was when we played Horde mode. Horde mode is the hard part.
Yeah.
Because playing through the story, we never felt any sort of danger. We were just clapping these niggas like... It was easy.
Right, yeah.
Non-stop, pop up.
Another thing that I really like about that game is, like, with the sniper rifle, it has innate penetration. Yes, penetration. And, like, if you penetrate enough zombies, it will
disgusting.
It will do a replay where it shows the bullet traveling through all the different zombies. And, like, when it first happened, I'm not sure. Has this happened to you at all, Marcus, when you're playing?
No, not yet.
Okay. So when it happened to me, I was playing.
I need to get good.
Or just use a sniper rifle. And, like, the thing is, like, I was trying to do it just because, like, I realized that, oh, this has penetration. So I'm going to try to hit as many of them as possible.
You're talking about a zoom in feature that I posted from Sniper Elite?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, it's like that. It's like that. Yeah.
It follows the bullet and it goes through them and all that.
Right, right.
DJ, you suck. Continue your story.
But the thing is, because it was multiplayer, the way that it, like, showed on screen kind of, like, startled me a little bit, because it was literally like I was shooting zombies. I shot that bullet that went through a bunch, and then I went to shoot another bullet, and it switched over to the video of that first bullet. And I was like, wait, what the hell's going
on?
Hey,
look at this. Look what you did.
But, like, I'm still in a multiplayer match, like, fighting zombies. Yeah. So it's like nothing really froze. It just showed me this video. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Stop
it. I mean, they probably make you temporarily invulnerable while they show that shit. You
know? Hopefully.
That would be messed up, though, if, like, they just put this abrupt replay in the middle of you getting swarmed. And then the replay
look at this cool
ends
thing while you die.
And you're on the floor just dead.
What you say? I'm sorry.
Oh shit! But yeah, like I'm having a good time, and you know, whenever you guys want to load up, we can do it.
Like, one thing I will say about this, the PS Plus, and then in turn with Game Plus, is there's something about free that just makes everything a little more enjoyable. You know, I have officially. I said this a few podcasts ago, entered a season of my gaming where I am just downloading stuff and playing it for the content. Like,
Marcus, you've come to the light. Jordan has been there. I've been there. It's free. Try it out, man. You never know what you're like.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, because you have streaming equipment, we can stream this stuff. So, you know, we're trying to get our content levels up. So might as well, you know, jump in on this stuff. But, and I don't really have anything else to say about what I've been playing. I was playing Zombie War with DJ, and I played Overwatch. So outside of that, there's nothing else for me. There's nothing else for you, DJ, right?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, that is what we've been playing. And before we go any further, we have no sponsors this week. We just have thank yous. We want to extend a big old thank you to the DC Webfest. As stated earlier, we are now a multi-award winning podcast because we won the Silver Award in the Digital Expressions category. And honestly, it feels like we were playing varsity ball this time because, you know, no diss to last year. You know, going up against other podcasts in the area was dope and we got that bronze. But this time we were going up against web series and, like, stuff.
Short
with, like,
films.
Real. Yeah. Yo.
We were freaking out, man.
They were heavy hitters. Like, that stuff was of, like, really good quality. I was like, ooh, we might get a consolation prize.
And we still got that silver, you know? But you know what? We went from the bronze to the silver, which means next year we coming for the gold, sucker! Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga!
Not only did we get the silver, we also got pushed forward for the Baltimore Web Festival.
Let's go.
So, like, big things coming up.
That's in the fall, so look out for that.
Jordan, we need you to use your pull to get us the gold in the Baltimore Webfest.
My influence.
Hey, it might
limited.
Be in person. How many extra rooms you got up there, Jordan?
I don't know if I can help, but I wish us the best.
Jordan's like, I got a balcony. You can sleep on that.
So yeah, thanks so much to the DC Webfest, and definitely. We look forward to further collaborations in the future.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey everyone, have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at Press X Number 2 Start, at Instagram at Press X Number 2 Start, and Twitter, Press X Number 2 S. And now, on our YouTube page at Press X to Start TV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. And now it's time for the Quickets.
Number one, this comes from Nintendo Life. Pac-Man 99 announced exclusively for Nintendo Switch Online. So, this is actually the game that replaced Mario Brothers 35. So last year Nintendo mentioned how, oh, we're gonna do a Mario game, but you have to get it before a certain period of time because it will go away. And everyone's like, what? You don't normally do that for Mario games. Like, you're putting a time period on this? This is crazy. And now we know why.
Well, no, that was like a collection of Mario games, I believe. It was a 35th anniversary. So it had like...
You're right. Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Battle Royale type game, but I get
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, they had the Mario Brothers Battle Royale game.
Okay, well.
I think that's the Mario 35, but what you're saying is, yes, the Mario Anniversary Collection, that was on for a limited time. And then now that went away, we have this Pac-Man 99. So, you know, check it out if you are interested in playing Pac-Man. I might check it out. It looks really cool in terms of their Battle Royale mechanics. This is a quick hit, so I'm not going to go ahead and explain all that. You guys can check it out if you're interested. Number two, this comes from IGN. EA patents adaptive difficulty system that adjusts to keep you playing longer. So,
I don't like this.
I don't know how I feel about this. I don't think I care. I think that's what it is. I don't think I care about this, mainly because I don't really play EA games all that much.
Well,
but Go ahead.
Like, in Forza Horizon 4, if you beat the other racers by, like, you know, X amount of seconds, or, you know, sometimes you're lapping them, they'll say, hey, you're pretty good. How about we bump up the difficulty rating as a recommendation? Like, it's not compulsory. It's not like it automatically updates.
It just automatically
increases your difficulty. So, I mean, I see a place where that's okay, but if this does not allow you to have a choice in whether difficulty is increased, and I see this being a problem, but it's something that has been done in the past, in a way.
I see this as predatory for the entire industry, because they've already perfected their addictive, and not EA per se, but the industry as a whole, addictive qualities with loot boxes and, you know, gaming sounds and all that type of shit to keep you reeled in. And they'll probably make, you know, some shit hard for like 10 levels, and then they'll tweak it just a little bit to make you feel like you're a gaming god. You beat that level and you're on to the next one. And
plus, they already have a whole genre of games like that from software pretty much made a thing. So they shouldn't be doing that for all games. Not all games.
Wait, I mean, Fun Software Games has an adaptive difficulty system?
No, they're just hard games.
They're just hard games. Okay. So like, you going into that for that purpose, but like, if you're doing that for games that really don't need that, I don't know. Like,
so here's the thing, right? Within the last three conversations you guys had, I've completely changed my mind on this, and I think this is a great idea. Okay,
go to the next quick hit, you bastard.
Real quick, before I jump, the reason why
Flip-flop Harris.
The reason why I say this is because in my mind, I was instinctively thinking of, oh, they'll just lower the difficulty. But I, you know, was being ignorant of, oh, they can actually increase the difficulty too. And I think I think in
would
the right
look at that the car goes in reverse.
If you would have put DJ's brain in a bird, it'd fly backwards.
It might walk. It might walk. Go ahead.
So I think in the right hands, this could actually be pretty cool because
I can't fly. These controls are stupid.
I can't run. Why? I got no iframes when I dodge roll. But yeah, so like I think in the right hands, this could be kind of interesting because, for example,
keyword in the right hands.
In the right hands, yeah. Like, for example, in Remnants of the Ash, that game has a mechanic. When you're doing good, it will throw more enemies at you. But there is no opposite mechanic of if you're doing bad, it will help you out. So I
all
think
right, let's take it easy.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this could be used for good, but because this comes from EA and EA,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, like that's where I'm just kind of like, I don't know. Anyways, number three, this comes from Forbes. Outriders patch notes offers free legendary and also nerfs to Technomancer and Trickster. Jordan kind of mentioned this a little earlier that they are releasing patches for the game. And this is good because there's also been reports that there's a bug that wipes all your gear in the game.
Yeah.
So
a lot of like those weird wipes going around across many games and that are online. Mm-hmm. And well, like there's a caveat to your story. People that will be able to reap the benefit of legendary items had to have played, I think, since the game came out, or at least at some point since the game came out and yesterday. So
okay, yeah.
That's all that is.
You're right. All right, so number four, this comes from Games Radar. Deathloop delayed to September 2021. Cool. You know, just make sure that game's good. Number five, this comes from VGC. PlayStation is planning to bring the likes of Uncharted and God of War to mobile. Why?
So you want to press swipe up to boy, I guess?
To boy.
Boy.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
If you had an isolated boy button, that's all I would do.
Now here's the thing. Cell phone technology is improving, but nowhere near the quality.
Nope.
If not drawing a game directly from a cloud server like they're doing through xCloud of consoles. So like those mobile games like Call of Duty Go, they're fine, but you know, it's like, do you want to go that direction? Do you want to go in that direction with those types of titles?
Right. Oh man. Number six. This comes from Push Square. PlayStation fans are missing Sean Layden, and he's liking all the tweets. So
shout out to Sean Layden, bro.
Yeah. So this is we're gonna kind of get into it with the heavy hitter, but this is really interesting because it was never actually publicly released why Sean Layden left Sony, and it was one of the things where he didn't say anything on his Twitter when he left, and then he was liking posts of people saying basically, why is Sean Layden gone? Like, what's going on?
And there were a few articles that highlighted that there was a two hemispheres of thought within PlayStation at times that were not cooperating with each other, and Sean Layden was a part of one of them.
Right. And I think the fact that people saying that, oh my god, we miss Sean Layden, and he's liking this, pretty much kind of points at Jim Ryan being like, okay, well, we're going to push Sean Layden out because we don't like his ideas and we want to go more, quote unquote, business versus gamers first. And a thing, I've been saying this, this is PS5 right now. This generation has big PS3 energy, and it's just...
You're not wrong.
It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, Jim Ryan, I'm pretty sure PlayStation or Sony as a whole, or actually PlayStation as a whole, has learned from the mistakes of PS3, and they could definitely, you know, improve themselves. But we'll see.
We miss you, Salt and Pepper.
Absolutely.
We miss you, Sean.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, Jim Ryan, I guess because of COVID, we really haven't seen him on stage too much, but he just doesn't have that presence that Sean Layden has.
He doesn't. No. He does not. No.
He gaslights the gamers. He's like, y'all don't want to have high-risk compatibility. What are you talking about? You don't want that.
There was something about when Sean would come up on the stage that you knew you were in for a good presentation.
Yeah. Like when he had the Crash Bandicoot shirt on, that was a whole big thing. Like, I don't think Jim Ryan, you know, I don't know Jim Ryan, so no. Whatever.
I don't know him.
I don't know that nigga.
Number 7. This goes from Push Square. Uncharted Ghost of Tsushima movies. Uncharted and Ghost of Tsushima movies will stream on Netflix after a theatrical run.
Interesting.
Just that's focusing on all the different. All right. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. That's. I don't know how I feel about this.
like, are we asking for this?
That's
like, I need an Uncharted movie yesterday when we just had a crappy ass fucking Tomb Raider movie not too long ago. They're not getting the science right. We just had to go. I mean, I'm not trying to say that Sony does not know what to do when it comes to movies. Like, I think out of all the companies, Sony's like probably one of the better movie makers. But at the same time, no.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, like we kind of already talked about it when we did a couple weeks ago, them announcing that there's going to be a Ghost of Tsushima movie. So like, there's not much else to say there. But the fact that they're going directly to Netflix after being in theaters is surprising, just because that doesn't usually happen.
Well, actually, the recent story that we had time to talk about, but yeah, Netflix scored a deal with Spider-Man movies. Remember that? That just happened. So like, there's like this weird Sony Netflix relationship going on here. So that might be reinforcing it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Netflix is definitely collaborating, especially after what happened with Warner Brothers and HBO Max. Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise me that like Netflix is trying to get on that wave.
So last thing before I jump to the next thing, I think this kind of points to some stuff from the last article. Sony's definitely going a direction, and it feels like it's going away from games. And it's going away from games in a way that instead of putting this money to support new and like different games, again, the heavy hitter is going to go more in that direction. But like they're putting money towards making game movies, and then now they're signing deals to have those movies appear on Netflix. And it's just like, what if no one likes the movie? Yeah, you have Tom Holland in it, but what if it's just a crappy movie? And then you like you spend all this money. Versus just making the thing that has made you money from time and time again, like.
Well, this is DJ's bias, you know. It's not going to Dreams 2, you know.
shit, it's not going to Gundam Battle Operations 3. How about that?
But I do get what you're saying. They are pulling from the same wealth of funding, and I mean the flexibility. I don't know. Like they just reoriented themselves. They're like, yo, we're triple A's, but we'll go into that in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so the last thing, this comes from Gadget Crutches. Kojima is in talks with Microsoft to publish the next game. So we don't really have much to say about this because we don't know if it's going to be finalized. Apparently,
I'm in shambles.
the leak.
You
from,
and me both, brother.
The leak from
Jim Ryan's like, Kojima, you're too weird, my guy. We're not. We don't want to have a 40-minute cutscene.
So real quick, the leak from this came from Jeff Grubb, and basically he was saying that there was another game that released on PlayStation Blog called Abandoned,
and that's not it. Yeah.
No, well, yeah, it looked.
I mean, it's not it, but like I know where you're going. It's not a Kojima joint.
Yeah. It looked very much so like Kojima's PT trailer in terms of the realistic environments and so on and so forth. And people were digging into the studio. They couldn't find much information on the studio, and then apparently there was. The studio like made a game a couple years back, but there was no information, or they took the game down or something. So people were kind of alluding, like, oh, this might be Kojima's next project or whatever. And then Jeff Grubb was like, no, actually, this isn't that, because Kojima's actually in talks with Microsoft and making a deal. And apparently it's at the stage of their lawyers are looking over the deal and making sure both sides get whatever they want.
What people have also done with like... It's kind of weird how personas affect our interpretation of what a company is and where a company is. But Phil Spencer has like his legendary, you know, shelves that has like various items on it. And the last time he was using that space to convey something earlier this winter, there was a figurine from a Kojima property that was pretty prominent.
Ludens.
Yeah, so yeah. They're like, whatever talks were occurring may have been fairly advanced to the point where, you know, he's slowly presenting it as such or preparing people to present it as such.
I will say this, that if Kojima's next game is fully produced by Microsoft, it will be the final indication to me that Jim Ryan's a hoe.
So,
because Sony and
Kojima been close.
And Kojima have had a good, exactly, they've had a good working relationship, so something had to have happened.
Uh-huh. So, actually, there's a rumor going around, it hasn't been vetted yet. I literally just saw it before the podcast. I didn't put it on here because I wasn't sure if we were going to get to there. And because it hasn't been vetted, at least by Jeff Grubb, like I wasn't planning on saying anything. But apparently, Kojima actually approached Sony with another game and they said no.
Mm-hmm. See?
So.
See?
And Microsoft is also trying to get into the Japanese market.
Yep.
And the Xbox Series S is performing very well in Asia right now. So there's a plan here. And yeah.
It's probably because of the size.
Well, I mean, They're not really interested in having, like, well, like in terms of large consoles, like, no. And maybe I'm still surprised that PS5 is still doing so well in the Japanese market because of how large it is. So,
well, I mean, they're a homogenous market.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go too far into the dimensions of the console, but clearly the Xbox Series X is, you know, feeding into a consumer need over there.
Yeah, but okay, that's it for the quick hits, and now time for the heavy hitter. Go ahead, Jordan.
So going in the vein of our Sony conversation, you know, Sony is at least attempting to remake The Last of Us for the PS5, and if you've been following Last of Us for a long period of time, this would be the second time it has been remade. Usually it would be like up-res. I don't know, Marcus, with the PS5 version of The Last of Us, were there any like game performance change? I mean, changes in gameplay to that version?
You mean the PS4?
Yeah, sorry, version? The PS4 version. Yes.
Not really. Like it was really just a remaster more than anything. Yeah. If they are actually remaking it, it would be like a from the ground up remake, right. I guess.
What's funny is that they fixed that loading time thing like by the time the PS5 came out, and it wasn't even something that took advantage of the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of weird because like when The Last of Us first came out, it kind of came out at the end of the PS3 generation, so it was pushing the PS3 to its maximum potential.
Yep.
And the same thing about the PS4 remake was near the end of the PS4's life cycle. So now
the
PS4
was a remaster. So this is the only remake in
right.
Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah. Wait, yeah. What are you talking about? The Last of Us remaster?
Yeah, that was Jordan had to say called
that,
a remake.
That came out like a year later, but I hear you.
No, no, no. I'm just saying that Jordan had called the remake versus the remaster. I'm just clarifying that was a remaster.
I misspoke. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
So I mean, this story kind of is adjacent to other conversations about where Sony's mind is at in terms of cultivating new titles, because the studio Bend is who's behind Days Gone. Recently came out that the sequel to Days Gone has been canceled.
Has been rejected. People,
yeah, like rejected, canceled. It's not going to happen. Not due to profitability, but due to its ratings were somewhat mixed.
Metacritic score, yeah.
Compared to the other AAA titles being Spider-Man, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, and others produced by Sony as first-party games, it was, you know, kind of like the squeaky wheel on that cart. So due to that, the studio was being reallocated as a support studio, kind of the same way Criterion and other studios within the EA would be reallocated from their core work to be like Criterion, which is great at Racers, was being reallocated to put support on Battlefield. You know, So members of Bend have since decided to leave.
Right.
Because, you know, they consider themselves better than that, or they want to actually work on games that are their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's another story produced by Bloomberg that talks about how Sony's obsession with blockbuster titles are stirring unrest within the PlayStation empire. So, like, there are just reports of just Sony's, like, really skittish towards the indie game scene or smaller AA games, like, you know, I don't even think that they truly consider Returnal as a AAA game, though Returnal is being priced as a AAA game, which is kind of odd.
I mean, we'll have no idea until that game actually comes out. There's a lot of discussion about that.
This also lines up with the story that happened a few weeks back where PlayStation decided to shut down Japan Studios. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where at that time, the reasoning was, well, you know, they're not really producing games all that much anymore. But it's like, when you think about the legacy of that studio, they produced all the weird and quirky Japanese games. But Jim Ryan, in his mind, was like, well, we need games that appeal to the global audience. And again,
exactly.
The other word for that is like, we need AAA blockbuster games. And it's like, all right, we see what's happening here. And the thing is, it could work, right? It could work in their favor that, you know, now every time a PS5 exclusive drops, it is of quality. Like, it's completely polished. There's
all killer, no filler.
Yeah, there's like very little bugs. But the thing about that is that that's never been PlayStation's bag. PlayStation has always been the place where you have those AAA titles, but you have the AA and B titles where it's just like, I didn't expect for Sony to make a Katamari game. And it's like, what's Katamari? Mm-hmm. Katamari is a Japanese game where you play this little space guy and you just roll a ball around, you collect things around you. And you're like, what the fuck? It's like, yeah, games are crazy.
Hell, under the Jim Ryan regime, I don't even know if we would have got the resurgence of Ninja Theory.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know if we would have got Senua's Sacrifice on PlayStation.
Well, remember, Ninja Theory went to Xbox.
Yep.
And Xbox agreed to produce Hellblade 2, which is, you know. So there's a shift. Sony, and like, for some reason, like, I don't know why, but my mind keeps going to this article I read like a long time ago. It was some interview that Sean Leahy gave, but it was him just kind of moonlighting the future of Sony at that time when he was like leaving. And it was kind of like saying that focusing on AAAs exclusively is not sustainable due to the expectations of gamers next to the cost of these AAA titles. Totally like agree. The single player AAA title is a very costly endeavor compared to the amount of revenue can potentially come in. That's why you have your Maddens, your Call of Duties, and your Battlefields and all those. They have a little story mode, but those fuckers are online.
Yep.
And fill with microtransactions.
Yep. Yep.
God of War is a solid state game. Spider-Man to a less extent is a solid state game. Ghost of Tsushima, they added multiplayer, but that's still a solid, like, core wise, a solid state game.
Last of Us 2 was initially going to have a multiplayer thing like they did
in the first one.
The first game, but they decided to take it out due to this game, but that's also a rarity.
Yeah. But
and then again, it's Naughty Dog, so Sony will let them do
whatever. At the same time, like, they took it out and they did say, like, okay, well, we'll put it out in the future. And they're up until this time, there hasn't been any word on if that's even coming. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, well, right. All right.
So yeah, I mean, just based on the discussion so far, we are in that place where, you know, we said time and time again, these video game companies are large ships. It takes a lot of energy to put them on a course. It takes a whole bunch of energy to correct said. So it takes lost revenue to correct the course, or revenue as compared to the competitors to correct course. So that's all I can say about this right now.
Yes, I thank you for ending there, because that was what was floating in my mind while you were mentioning this stuff. Like, we saw what happened when PlayStation focused on, like, really, really focused on, we need big AAA, big AAA, big AAA, which was PS3 generation. Like, they had, like, really, really killer AAA stuff. The launch of the PS3, the cost of the PS3, those things were
the main inhibitors.
Yeah, those caused issues for PlayStation 3's popularity. But it was in the PS4 generation we saw, like, really crazy and new titles. For example, Senua's Sacrifice. Like, that's one of the big titles that, like, no one really saw coming, and it was a PlayStation exclusive. And it was like, PlayStation was the home for weird games like that, and that is what helped led PlayStation to become top dog. And then now that PlayStation became top dog, they're just like, All right, well, fuck all that weird shit. Let's go back to the moneymakers. Just like, what are you guys doing?
Well, and it's funny because, like, in my opinion, as a publisher, because, like, both Xbox and PlayStation are publishers, outside of their core game console making work, you'd think that variety would breed strength.
Yeah.
Because, like, PS3 had a tremendous amount of variety, both in terms of first-person games, platformers, action adventure. Like, PS3 had a very robust variety of games that they were able to capitalize on into the PS4 era, as Donald stated. But I would be anxious working within Sony right now as a new employee of Sony, based on how more homogenous they are becoming in terms of their publishing work right now. Like, it's,
I'd be more scared of being a head of one of the developer studios and just being like, all right, we have this really cool new idea.
It's a flight sim. It's a procedural flight sim that we're super excited about. We're talking about it for the past 5 years, and
it's a fucking mech game, and we have this really cool idea, and we want to do it. And Sony's like, no, our first parties is literally third person over the camera human type games, so this isn't going to work here. And you're just like, all right, well, fuck, I guess I'll go over to Xbox. And it's just like, I have a feeling that that might start happening a lot more.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm torn because you all know that the third person over the shoulder camera thing is my bag, you know, so like, I'm cool with that. But I also was a supporter of Sony because there was that variety. It's because you could show up and just have so many different types of games and just like, sure, why not? Right, you know, like, you know, here's your Death Stranding, but here's also your Call of Duty, but here's also your Matt, you know, like, it was just madness in the best way.
But even though that is your bag, like, what game did you spend the most time on, like, last year?
Persona 5.
Oh, shit, I was going to say Overwatch.
But but Overwatch was my second. Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
But even Persona 5 is, like, that's a JRPG. So that is different. But, like, yeah, those games are great. Those games do well, but...
They're within the zeitgeist for about a few months.
Yeah,
Because they're single player. Because the thing is,
like, if you keep producing those kinds of games, they will eventually look all the same.
I mean,
and I think,
yeah, you're absolutely right.
I think
right.
That's something that PlayStation, unfortunately, is chasing.
Yeah, if we're being real, like, I think God of War is fantastic. But God of War is what it is because of Last of Us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I say when you compare to what Microsoft is intending to do over the next 3 years, you will see that larger diversity. Like, you have your Forza Horizon, you have your Fable, you have your Gears of War, your Halo, you know, and then you have your, you know, niche indie games sprinkled around there too.
Yep.
Mainly through their service, you know, Game Pass and stuff like that. So it's going to be like we are at a nexus of change, is the best way I can put it.
Yep.
Like, now more than ever, there is a solid chance that a majority of this podcast is going to have Xboxes in the near future.
Or at least Game Pass.
Right, exactly. So it's going to be very interesting.
Well, I guess before we wrap up, there is one last thing that I didn't include on our docket because there is it's kind of just like circulating. So, Jesus, I basically had his name. I forgot. Anyways, the creator of Twisted Metal.
David Gaffey.
There you go. Mm-hmm. He had mentioned in an article or something, some kind of conversation he had, that Sony is actually preparing a counterpunch for Game Pass. We don't know what it is. There has been no other information past just him saying that he's talked to Sony people and they said that that's going to happen.
As long as it's not PlayStation Now.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, like, whatever that counterpart is, it would still be uphill battle because you still have Jim Ryan saying that he's not going to release first party games
on
said subscription service. So immediately there's a contrast.
Right.
Between services. So he still wants people to pay $70 for God of War. Shut up. That's actually what he says.
And the only reason why I bring that up is because of that exact point. Like, the chase for AAA games and then the counter side to it is like having this kind of Game Pass system it's kind of at two odds or two ends, mm-hmm. because yeah, you're gonna want people to pay $70 for the AAA titles, but then mm-hmm. how are you going to support the
and draw people to said exactly. service?
Yeah,
because clearly Microsoft is fine with having their AAA silo and Game Pass silo intermingling.
They need to look at how Netflix is doing it. Mm. They need to sit down and have a hard look, because I mean, Netflix has Netflix Originals, and
that's a good point.
It draws people into the service. They're making money somehow.
That's a good point.
I can understand not wanting to put your brand new first party AAA games on there, but there is a way to monetize it. They just need to sit down and hire the right people to analyze what they're doing mm-hmm. wrong.
You know, I will even say that, like, I feel like, and then we can wrap this up, but I feel like if Sony made a new service, right? It's a higher tier than PS Plus. It's PS whatever, right? And this service is PlayStation Now. PS Play Platinum Edition or whatever. Like, this service is PlayStation Plus. You get PlayStation Now, and then you also get their first party releases day one and date whatever. Day one when it comes out, you get on the service. Day and date, yeah. And like, that could be an extra, I don't know, $20 or something on the original PS Plus.
Well, day and date for 3 months, they want to be like that. Because clearly Microsoft is like not trying to take their first parties off of Game Pass.
Right, but like even something like that, like you can make so much money off of people signing up for that and that hitting every month versus just relying on the one-time purchase of these like single-player games. And I feel like mm-hmm. that would be a better system to help support, especially the single-player games that doesn't have any kind of microtransactions or any like reoccurring revenue coming to those yeah. studios. And it's just like, why not just like, it's okay to copy other systems and like companies if it makes sense and it works.
That is exactly what I said last week.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I said last week. There is nothing wrong with taking things that work from other companies as long as you're still putting your own spins on it. Like, right. as long as you're not just straight up aping something, then you're in a competitive industry. You have to grow and adapt in order to stay on top. If you're not doing that, someone's going to take your spot.
Yeah. Especially with Microsoft being so hungry.
Unfortunately, Microsoft has the money to just throw money at the problem
That's
until
true.
It works.
That's very true.
Sony doesn't have that luxury.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you know, even still, though, you gotta like read the room.
Yeah, don't worry about the movies. put your money in some place that's useful.
Yeah, but anyway, take us home, DJ.
There's a fly in my room, and I gotta kill this thing. Oh, it's a bee. What's up, everyone? This has been Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast app. Every little bit counts. In case you missed all this, you can find details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next time, I am DJ, and I'm about to fuck this bee up. Peace.
He sound like the disclaimers at the end of commercials. Side effects include...
DJ about to die, y'all.
I beat the shit out of that bee, I'll tell you that right now. I broke my coaster, by the way.